Recording has now started.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG policy webinar on the 19th of June 2017. On the call today, we have Avi Doria, Bruna Santos, Melissa Richards, Kathy Kleinen, Nadira Alaraj, Consulate Ileleji, Rafik Damak, Robin Gross, Sarata Omane, and from staff we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name for transcription purposes. Thank you very much. Over to you, Rafik.
Can you hear me now? Okay, sorry, that was a mute problem. Okay, so let me restart again. So today we have the NCSG policy webinar. This is kind of experiment we are in, and this to be organized before an ICANN meeting. This is complementing other efforts that you can find and organized by ICANN, like the pre-meeting policy update webinar, and also all the background material, newsletter, and documentation prepared by the staff. The idea here is to more discuss from a standpoint of our membership and on what matters to us. So we kind of selected here a few topics. We cannot go through the whole topic that will be discussed in ICANN meeting. You can check them through the schedule that's online. But here we are trying to emphasize a few topics that they are discussed in the working groups. And we are lucky to have today co-chairs from this working group, starting with the rights protection mechanism, and we will get a briefing from the Kathy Kleifman. And then we have the new GTLD subsequent procedure. We have Avri Doria, who is the chair, and also one of our new members who is active there, Bruna Santos, that will give more a briefing about the comment that we submitted lately. Also, we have the registration directory services, and hopefully Stephanie will join us later on the call. So basically, we kind of picked up a few topics. You can find more information about other topics and the material, and we'll try to compile them and share to the list in addition to the recordings. And you can already find some of them in the email I sent back. So let's start with the first agenda items. And this is about the rights protection mechanism. I think the word rights maybe can be misleading here. And I do believe that Kathy will really explain a lot about this kind of, not a new issue, but really quite old, that's maybe since the beginning of ICANN. And she will go through the presentation. Kathy, can you hear me?
Yes, Rafik, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. And please go ahead. Yeah. Thanks.
Terrific. Thank you for organizing this, Rafik. Really appreciate it. And I apologize for any noise you hear in the background. I'm outside, so the planes may fly over or whatever. Glad to be with you. This is Kathy Kleinen, and longtime member of non-commercial stakeholder group, NCUC, since the beginning, actually, on all these things. So I am co-chair of the Rights Protection Mechanism Policy Development Process Working Group. And it's my understanding here that my job was to provide some background on the policy generally, the problem from a non-commercial perspective, and then I'll talk a little bit about some of the specific issues we're working on in Johannesburg in case you want to come to all or some part of our really big three-hour face-to-face that's taking place on Thursday morning in Johannesburg or participate remotely. This is really about non-commercial NCUC concerns with balancing free expression and trademark protection and the domain name system. Could I have the next slide, please? And I'll just start talking. Okay, great. So domain names and trademarks are totally different things, but they look alike, and that creates a problem. So domain names, of course, are global routing tools. You guys all know this. They're mnemonics for us to remember IP addresses. That is not the IP address for NCUC, but we have NCUC and the IP address for my law firm. And trademarks are, of course, words, names, symbols, designs used in commerce to identify and distinguish the goods and services of one manufacturer or seller from another. And, in fact, in most places, you can't get trademarks for non-commercial speech unless it rises to a level analogous to commercial speech. So the Red Cross, which is non-commercial, non-profit, is, of course, a very famous trademark and is trademarked in many countries and also protected by statute. But domain names and trademarks are different. They just look alike because they use letters and numbers. Could you go to the next slide, please? So this is a very brief history. I know many people on this call know this. Again, next slide, please. I don't seem to have control of them, so if someone could. Rafiq, who's handling slides, please? Great. So in 1999, as our very first consensus policy at ICANN, the brand new ICANN created, its very first consensus policy had to do with trademarks and domain names. We created the Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy, or the UDRP. And this was a fully online dispute resolution forum. It was administered initially by the World Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva, and now other providers exist as well. And it allowed trademark owners to bypass the court system and go to a UDRP provider and ask for the termination or transfer of a domain name if they can show that it was registered and being used in bad faith. And tens of thousands of these cases have taken place in the last 18 years. And in that process and since, the non-commercial users constituency and now the non-commercial user stakeholder group have fought very hard for express protections of legitimate non-commercial or fair use of domain names and bona fide offerings of goods and services or services. So the right of everyone else to use a word, even if it's a trademark, particularly if it's a generic term or a dictionary word. So Fox Media may have the right to use the letters FOX for media-type activities, and it's a very well-known mark. But my friend Adam Fox has his own public relations firm under his last name, and nothing we do in the Internet should take away that coexistence of words in the real world. And, of course, we take it one step further in that domain names are also used to criticize corporations as well as actions of famous people, and so we want to preserve that free expression right as well. Next slide, please. But unfortunately, in a review of the UDRP, again, our first protection for trademarks in ICANN, Dr. Constantinos Komaitis, who has been and probably still is a member of NCUC, he's also an attorney, a professor of law, and he got his PhD. And his PhD was published as a book called The Current State of Domain Name Regulation, Domain Names as Second-Class Citizens in a Mark-Dominated World. And he did this about half a decade ago, and he found really that the UDRP was not fair, that it was taking away rights from registrants, rights that people had to use words and language, and really the UDRP forums, he found, were pretty tilted towards trademark owners because that's who chooses them and pays for them. And I'll just read the second quote from his book. As consumers became more vocal through the Internet, the UDRP panels attempted attempt to silence them and are willing to protect commercial over non-commercial speech. And that's really odd because in the rest of the world, we protect non-commercial speech over commercial speech, certainly in the United States and in many other countries. That right to criticize, to critique is very, very important. So this concerns us about the UDRP. And so right now there's this group called the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group that will be looking at the UDRP, but not for another year or two. What we're looking at now, and can we go to the next slide, please, is a set of rights protection mechanisms that were specifically created for the new top-level domains. They don't apply to .com, .org, .net. They don't apply to the what we call the legacy generic top-level domains. They were only created to apply to the new top-level domains. And what they did was they created a trademark clearinghouse, which is a special database, and you can put a federally registered mark. So if I have a mark from the U.S. Trademark Office, I can take it and for an extra fee, put it in the trademark clearinghouse, and that will help create a second set of a new layer of protections for trademarks in the new rights protection mechanism in the rollout of all these new GTLDs. And I'll talk about some of the specifics in a second. But right now, the working group has been looking at the trademark clearinghouse generally, what goes into this database, and how broad should it be. So part of what we'll be discussing on Thursday is a little bit of that, but we're coming to the end of that. And going into two ways that we use the trademark clearinghouse. And one is sunrise, a sunrise period. So a new top-level domain name opens, and it must hold a pre-registration period for trademark owners who are in the trademark clearinghouse. So if you are McDonald's, you have the first chance to register in .food. But you also have the first chance to register in .nyc. And question is that really, or .xyz or .ninja? And should McDonald's Corporation have the first rights to register in .ninja or something else that might involve individuals, millions of whom have the last name McDonald's? So we're going to be looking at, over the next few months, starting now actually, we'll be discussing this extensively in Johannesburg, is the sunrise period fair and balanced? I promise you the trademark owners want more. Right now, the standard is an exact match. It has to be the exact characters, letters, numbers that are in the trademark clearinghouse, with the exception of certain kind of specialized characters. But they want more. You know, there's a big proposal. There's three proposals on the table for non-exact matches and adding S's and typos. But that can change the word completely. Enum, which is a registrar, you add the word V and that's venom, a totally different word. So, you know, how far will this go? The next, at the bottom of the slide, you see trademark claims. And these are, once we've gone through the sunrise period of a new top-level domain, once we've gone through certain kind of launch, specialized launch offerings and auctions, of which Avery is much more the expert than I am on this because of her work co-chairing the subsequent procedures working group, which is working out the new rules for all of these. Once we do that, once we go into general availability, where anyone can buy a domain name, first come, first served, for the first 90 days, you get a notice. This is called the trademark claims, and this is a special notice to potential registrants that says if the domain name that they're registering in any new GTLD happens to match an exact match of something that's in the trademark clearinghouse, you'll get a notice that says, are you sure you want to do this? This is registered for this mark and this location for these categories of goods and services. If anyone's seen a trademark, it goes down, a registered trademark goes down, most of the categories of a registered trademark, and says, do you still want to go forward? Click yes or no. And we had hoped that this would kind of provide a balance so that registrants would have some idea that the trademark was out there and trademark owners would have some ability to talk to the registrants kind of through this process. But we kind of thought that people who had legitimate rights to use words would go forward and use it. The fact is they're not. More than 90% of people are turning back at that notice and not registering things, which they might, dictionary words, last names, first names, they might really have very legitimate reasons to register these things, but something's really scaring them. And is there a way, from a non-commercial perspective, is there a way to diminish the chilling effect of the trademark claims? And, of course, others will be trying to see if they can expand the trademark claims and see if there are, you know, how to make it even more effective from the perspective of trademark owners. So that's a lot of material in a short amount of time. The existing rights protection mechanisms of the UDRP and the new ones of the Trademark Clearinghouse and the Sunrise Period and the trademark claims, and there's more. Can we go on to the next slide? So we'll be meeting face-to-face in Johannesburg. There's a big three-hour meeting on Thursday morning. We also meet every Wednesday. The time varies. Oh, sorry, I forgot about this slide. So just a few quick examples, you know, from a non-commercial perspective. Should the Rock Group, the Police, have the first right of registration for police.nyc for New York? Should Liberty Gas Station get to own the word Liberty in all GTLDs and have that right to register it? You know, this could create real problems for non-commercial. Next slide, please. Almost done, Rafiq. Handing it back to you shortly. And then I've already talked about what's on this the trademark claims notice. With so many people turning back and not registering domain names, you know, is it fair? Is it right? Is it, you know, is this balanced? So next slide. So come join us. I'm one of three co-chairs of this working group. Phil Corwin and J. Scott Evans, both of the business constituency, are the co-chairs. They're very expert in trademark. And we'd love to have you join us as a member or as an observer. And come in Johannesburg or participate remotely. There'll be a lot of information shared there. Rafiq, does that do it?
Okay. Thanks, Kathy, for this. It was quite concise and straight to the point. So if I put myself in the queue and I will ask the first question.
please.
So... thanks for asking people to join and participate. So if I may ask here, what kind of maybe skill set you are looking for or kind of profile or background that you would like members to join this working group and how they can participate effectively? So.
Almost every, many members of, it's a great question, Rafiq, many members of the working group come from the intellectual property constituency and spend their lives as trademark attorneys. And that's great. It's great that they have that background. But they come in with a perspective of really, you know, they come in with one perspective, and it's not the non-commercial perspective. And so we need anyone who cares about words. Obviously, if you have a legal background, that's great because we're going head-to-head with a lot of lawyers on key issues, not head-to-head in terms of fighting personally, but in terms of fighting about the issues. Where does a trademark stop? Where does it end? But a lot of the stuff we can teach because intuitively we all know that the word McDonald's for the restaurant, the hamburger restaurant, only goes so far, and that Jim McDonald's in Scotland or Ireland or anywhere in the world has rights as well. So we just need anyone who cares about words and protecting the rights of future, you know, current registrants, future registrants, to use the same words that we've always used to name our organizations, our groups, our entrepreneurs, our new services and products. So anyone who cares about words. Thanks. We'll train you. We'll help from there. We'll provide the details from there.
Thanks, Kathy. Trying to see if there are any question or comments for Kathy. Guys, don't be shy. So it's an opportunity to understand more about the topics before the meeting next week.
Rafiq, would it be possible to circulate? Grace did an awesome blog posting after Copenhagen about for NCUC about this working group from a newcomer's perspective. And so circulating the link to that, if there's going to be any follow-up to this, might be really good. It was a lovely article. and she pointed out to me that the word Rolex, which is, of course, you know, a luxury watch for much of the world, but it turns out that's a breakfast that's eaten throughout Kenya. A Rolex is a roll-up sandwich, generally with eggs and things in it. And she said if the word Rolex were only allowed for the luxury watch, that would mean they'd have to come up with a whole other word for their breakfast sandwich.
Okay. Yeah, sure. We can do that. I will try to summarize most of the material and so on, send them later. If I may ask last question, maybe before moving to the next agenda item, I see that you kind of focused on three mechanisms related to the trademark clearinghouse. Are there other mechanism that the working group is reviewing, or those only that kind of related to the new GTLD? Or there are phases and so on?
You want to know if there are other rights protection mechanisms?
Not necessarily to go into detail, but just maybe to mention them, so because I think there are several. I'm not sure if they are all included in the working group or maybe in the new GTLD working group, so just maybe to clarify that.
Yes, the biggest one that I didn't mention was the uniform rapid suspension, just because I knew there wasn't a lot of time. So I'm glad you asked. So the uniform rapid suspension also currently only applies to new GTLDs, anything we've created since 2012. But one of the questions the working group will be asking is, should it apply to legacy or older GTLDs. But the uniform rapid suspension is a faster, cheaper dispute resolution mechanism than the UDRP. And the UDRP was already much, much faster and cheaper than court. So NCUC spent a lot of time fighting the URS to make it much more balanced, to make sure that it couldn't be abused because it's very, very fast, and to make sure it was very, very narrowly tailored to very clear-cut cases of abuse. So if you register Kathy Kleiman dot lawyer, and you're not Kathy Kleiman, and there are a few, actually, Kathy Kleiman lawyers across the world, but if you register it and you're not one of us, we can probably go after you through URS and take that away. Again, the question on all of these is not just are the rules fair, but is there due process? Is there time to respond? Do people actually have notice? So that's pretty much the big one that I didn't talk about, Rafiq.
Thanks, Kathy. And I think we have at least the last question from Michael.
Hi. More of just a sort of a comment than a question. Thanks so much for that excellent presentation, Kathy. I just wanted to sort of chime in as somebody who's been engaging just a little bit with this group in the last few weeks. And to echo what Kathy has said, encouraging participation, particularly because in these conversations, the commercial and business people really are out in force and tend to sort of form a phalanx supporting their own position. And there's a lot of them there, and they take a uniform position, and it can be very difficult to advocate for non-commercial interests. In the absence, in the face of those kinds of numbers. So honestly, any kind of engagement, any kind of participation, I think would be very useful. And, Kathy has been doing a wonderful job of sort of, spearheading the non-commercial, interests on this, but, it really, I think, more support would be very helpful. So I just wanted to sort of add my voice in there and encouraging people to get involved in any way that you are able to.
This is Kathy. My response is here. I totally agree, and I'm so glad that, Michael, you took the time to come in. And, in fact, Michael came in, and I'll just mention it briefly because there are just so many issues. I didn't want to part of the problem now is that the trademark clearinghouse is secret. We didn't design it that way, but they made it that way during implementation, which is a horrible time to put in details like this. And Michael, through his work on transparency, accountability, and democracy, has been pointing out that secrecy in any kind of ICANN database like this is just inappropriate. So if you want to fight secrecy, please come in and join us. That fight is kind of queued up for about 2 months from now. So thanks for your comment, Michael. We would love much more participation. Thanks, Rafi.
Information how to join the working group. Okay, so let's move on to the next topic, which is do we have Avery in the call?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, so let's thanks, Avery. So let's applaud your presentation.
Okay. I just wanted to say I didn't know – that's not mine. I did not know that I was doing a presentation until just this morning, and Bruna and I didn't coordinate. But what I think I'm doing is just a quick background to the group, and then I think Bruna's covering the NCUC position. So it'll be slightly different than Kathy's. And okay, that's Bruna's, so, right? That's not mine, right? Yeah, that's Bruna's presentation. If you want me to go first, it's the one I sent you, Rafiq. Sorry. Yep, okay. And I can control slides, I can. All right. Okay, so justice and that. So the starting points on this, and this is important. I don't think that's me. This is important to keep in mind at all times is that we have an existing policy and we have an existing application guidebook. And those are the basis of the policy going forward. We can change just about anything in it, but if we don't have consensus to change something, then the policy and AGB of record remain the case, and that's something to remember. Also, likewise with the base register agreement, which is part of the AGB, but is also separately discussed. Then there's the final issue report, and then we have a charter. Moving on. So those are the things that we've got. Oops, I just bounced all around. Okay. So we did. We started out by taking in inputs from as many places as we could think of, recommendations and data from CCTRD, the report from the Cross-Community Working Group on Use of Country and Territory Names. There's the GAC Working Groups. There's multiple comment periods. We've already had two. One of the things that we're really trying to deal with is how can we make sure that we're coordinating things well enough between, you know, everyone that cares about at least some part of the new GTLD work can you know, have their say and have it discussed and understood before we reach consensus. So hopefully we can avoid most of the end game and post game readjustments on policy by the board on an emergency basis, which is what happened last time, that the policy in the AGB, I contend, had very little resemblance to each other in some dimensions because the implementer said, oops, can't do that, board, can we have a different decision? Or the intellectual property people said, you guys decided there would be no RPMs, but we want RPMs. Board, can we have RPMs? Yes, you can have RPMs. We're trying to make sure that doesn't happen. Now, RPMs are not our problem this time. They're all being done by groups like Kathy's and others, and we're basically just including by reference the work they do. You know, we're not redoing it or any of that. We're adjusting to it. So first we did the overarching issues, and we're still working on those. There were six issues, and we haven't yet finished dealing with all the comments. We've spoken of all the comments, but some of the comments were sufficiently opposed to each other that we still have to work through, and I'll talk about that in a second. So we're considering that input and working to reach consensus. We've also established 4 work tracks to consider the remaining subjects in the charter, and there's quite a few, over 30. So on comment 1, we basically put together 3 drafting teams to deal with issues that were particularly thorny from the community comment 1. That had to do with different TLD types. This time we've accepted that there are more categories than just standard and community, and then of course the addition of geographic later by the board, and then the de facto appearance of brands. This time we're trying to set up front what they are. So there's a general agreement that there will be categories, but what they'll be is still under discussion. There are so there's a drafting team and there's a drafting document that I invite everyone to look at. I don't know if you can get the URL from the slides when they're sent out, but when I'm not talking, I'll stick them all in the chat so anybody can grab them. We also have a drafting team on predictability against community engagement. Predictability was one of the principles last time, but because of the various exogenous effects or influences and ACs or problems or what have you, because of community engagement, things got changed, and they got changed along the way, even after applications had started. Now, we're not sure we can prevent that completely from happening, but we need to figure out how to deal with that so that we still have the community engagement in the application process, but so that we also keep things as predictable as possible. So how do we balance predictability and flexibility? The third issue is applications assessed in windows of some sort. There's a strong push for going to first come, first serve, but because there's still a pent-up demand, we're told. In fact, we're told by some that there's a pent-up demand of up to 10,000 names, which we're trying to wrap our brains around. But there's a pent-up demand, so going first come, first serve with a large pent-up demand, even if it's not that big, is not prudent. So we're looking at hybrid approaches that start out dealing with the pent-up demand, but then evolve into a first-come, first-serve ongoing process. But there are people that are very against first-come, first-serve, and we have to deal with periods of time for property owners to make their objections and for other people to make their objections and then for, you know, such. So we may have abbreviated windows. We don't know. A very active discussion group. Okay, the community input 2 went out, and that's, I think, part of what Bruno's going to talk about. And hopefully I don't step on your presentation. As I said, I didn't know until this morning that I was presenting. For some reason, I missed that. And it's closed, so we're starting to go through those real soon now. Just to remind people of the subjects. So, and you can refer back to us, we can unsync this as soon as I finish going through it. Maybe it's already unsunk. Work Track 0 had 6 issues. And then, we call it Work Track 0. It was the CC1. And then there's the 4 tracks. The one that's dealing with such as accreditation, application support, clarity of process, fees, you know, a submission period, queuing systems, application guidebook. There's Work Track 2, which is the legal side, the base agreements. That's not the legal side. 3 is that. Sorry. It's base agreement, it's second of RPMs, reserve names, registrant protections, IGO, NGO. A lot of this we're importing. Closed generics, application terms of closed generics has been a fascinating conversation that's going to be ongoing that I know NCUC has a split opinion on. So application terms and conditions, registrar and non-discrimination, registry, registrar separation, the whole vertical integration issue. reviewing. That one is an exciting topic. Registry, registrar standardization, TLD rollout, et cetera. Robin can speak to that one probably better than I can because she's the co-lead on that one. But objections, looking at objections that were filed, how did they turn out? Role of independent objector, freedom of, new GTLD applicant, freedom of expression, community application, string similarity, et cetera, accountability mechanisms. And then fourth is sort of the grab bag of IDN, universal acceptance, application reviews, name collision, security and stability. Yes, a lot of details, Nadira, but that's this working group, and that's why we have four subgroups with their own leaders and a staff that keeps a very complicated project. We basically map this one out kind of like an engineering project and keep, modifying our schedules as if we were an engineering project, but very much using that kind. Okay, at 59, and I think Bruno's going to talk more about this, but I can certainly answer questions. In preparation, we had a webinar. We had two geonames at the top level webinars, and there was a paper. We have two community sessions dealing with geographic names, one at the beginning of the week for 90 minutes, and then we take a day off, and then we have another two sessions to see if we can find a path to consensus on geographic names at the top level. And then and I'll put this one in the chat also, there's a table here that both summarizes the positions that people took during the webinar on geonames at the top level. And Jeff and I created a straw person to basically tie as many of those as we could together as a place to start. We're not calling it a recommendation. We're not calling it a draft proposal. It's just Jeff and I doing our best to look at this mass of sometimes very contradictory requirements and see if we couldn't put out a straw person that kind of touched on most of them. And I'll put a URL for that paper in too. And that's the end of what I have. And Bruna, then we can ask me questions, or perhaps, you want to wait until Bruna's covered the NCUC position on these various things. But I thought it was good that I give an overview just so folks see the complexity, but also see the opportunities and look at the issues that you care about. And if you care about any of them, instead of participating in all five things, the main group and all four subteams, as some of us do, you can just participate in the one that has what you want. And in fact, we keep a track of what subject is planned to be discussed in which group. So, okay, sorry. Yeah, I should have done that. That's our schedule going forward. I'm really trying to hurry so that I'm not talking too much. Oh, and Rafiq's already putting the URLs in. Thank you. And the last thing I did mention, forgive I realized I didn't have it on my slides. We will also have a session during the meeting where we'll go through both some of the community issues, and then each one of the work tracks is picking one or two of its meatiest subjects to basically have an open discussion with in the face-to-face meeting. I'll stop now. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. It's a challenge to go through all the details for the working group, but I think you highlighted the most important part, that even at this stage, it's possible to join and to participate and to select which working track the members want to focus. So there is no need to try to cover everything, but just to focus in one area.
Only a masochist covers them all.
Okay. So I guess we can get question after Bruna presentation, and hope we will have several comments then. Bruna, can you speak? And Mariam, please applaud the presentation.
Yeah. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Bruna, if you can speak more louder, maybe.
Yes, of course. Hello, this is Bruna. Nice to meet you all, and very nice to be having the floor here. First of all, I'm a NCC fellow in the upcoming meeting. I am very anxious and looking forward to this. And this document that you're both looking, that you're all looking at, it was some sort of an attempt of gathering some of the issues and subjects that we're working on, both on the CC2 and also the geographic main issue subject. And this was more of a learning experience / exercise for me. And this is it. Going straight to the CC2, the community comment. The NC, as Avery said, there was a public comment open between March and June. It was an evaluation regarding what changes or additions needed to be made to the existing policy. The NTSG has offered a public comment input on tracks 1, 2, and 3, which are overall process support and outreach, the first one, legal, regulatory, and contractual requirements, and the third one is string contention, objections, and disputes. On this, I would very much like to thank the policy committee for having the patience for reviewing my comments. It was the first time. And on that, some of the recommendations, sort of comments that we have offered, are the importance of granting support for applicants from developing countries, whether they are financial or any other type of support. We also think very well of the round of having rounds of applications followed by evaluation periods instead of a continuous process. And also we think about ensuring the freedom of expression of applicants and our strong belief in a single base agreement applicable to all, and then changing like some particularities in like, parts of the for each case and each applicant. As Avery said, now the working group is going through the comments. They will be going through the comments during and after ICANN 59. And so far for CC2, this is it. The rest that I wrote was just a background on GeoName, thanks to Avery and all the documents that the working group has put out. And I would like to go like straight to the end and talk again of the sessions. There will be two cross-community sessions in ICANN 59 at the very end. And there's one, I just need to recollect the information. There's one on Tuesday, and I believe one on the last day. No, Tuesday and Thursday, two sessions. And the idea of the sessions is to provide a follow-up for webinars that the working group has organized in late April, and we provided background on the geographic names and solutions for the issue. And during the webinar, there were 10 presentations from the community and 4 presented solutions, such as a repository of names in geographical relevance, one thing called a geographic sub-interest commitment, also the idea of having all the names used to indicate geographic, linguistic, or cultural origins submitted to a governmental evaluation. And last but not least, the last suggestion was to allow the utilization of the ISO 3166 alpha 3 code as GCLDs, provided that there is such thing as a government support or non-objection. What the sessions will consist on is the idea to provide To work through the proposals of VIDA, Column FAST for policy development in this regard, and also, of course, in respect to international law and granting that the solution does not prevent anyone from applying or affect the rights of others. This is me. This is the end of it. Sorry, Avi, if I have overlapped your presentation by some sort. And thanks for giving me this space, everyone.
Thanks, Bruna, for this presentation. And again, thanks for drafting the comment for the I think they call it the community comment number two. It was a long questionnaire, and I think we focused on some area of interest of us. But I think still there is opportunity for people to join the working group and to review and to get involved there. I think you and Avery focused in the geo names for a specific reason, is that it will be a topic for discussion in Johannesburg meeting in two, I think, cross-community session. And there was before even, I think, a webinar maybe 2 months ago. So maybe, I guess here, if I'm not sure if Avi or Bruna can maybe explain more here, what are the expectations from this cross-community session? And what we can do exactly, I think, I'm not sure that we have kind of clear common position within NCSG on the matter of geonames, but maybe we can initiate some discussion here and trying to clear out any misunderstanding.
Okay, I should probably take that one. There's hope. And there's expectations. And I just put the table, maybe Rafiq, you had already put it in, but the table of possible issues. What we hope to come out of this is with a clear view of how we're going to handle geonames at the top level. We would love to get consensus on this. And in fact, we do have outside help coming in, someone that's not been involved with ICANN before, but seems to be quite well educated on how to do these things, to basically help us moderate the discussions over the course of the 4 days. In fact, they're already reaching out to the people that put in proposals and the leaders of many groups to get some, you know, initial conversation and some startup. And they'll be running meetings almost the whole time we're there, trying to basically find where the issues are that can actually be solved. So not quite sure how that's going to work, but basically Jeff and I decided that, you know, it was really, and we had strong, for a while we had strong staff encouragement, but then when there was money to be spent, we needed help from staff to spend the money, but they very graciously agreed in the end. As opposed to using a staff person as a mediator. So the hope is that we'll come out with the basics of our solution for geonames at the top level. Knowing that that's way too aspirational, what we have to come out with is an idea of the problems, an idea of the places where there is agreement, and a path forward for getting this decided. Now, the other thing is there is a trend going on that says, wait, this should be done by a cross-community work. I guess as co-chairs of the subsequent procedures, we're saying, oh, no, please no, because that would then become a gating factor on what we do. We also see how the use of country and territory names went where they came to deadlock on three character. So we know that three characters is a deadlock space, three characters on the ISO list. So, you know, that's one item that we know that a cross-community working group is not going to solve any better than us. So we've got to find a way to solve it. But we are, if you look at the composition of the working group, it is rather multi-stakeholder. And as you know, both I said earlier and Rafiq reinforced, these are cross-community sessions that everybody is encouraged to participate in. And if you look at the table that I put in there, you'll see that there's lots of, you know, there's the two character, the three character, the country and territory names. And then there's all, is it in ASCII? Is it in English? Is it a capital name? You know, there's all these sub-issues to it. Then there's city, state, and regional names. And then there's all those other things that people want to protect, like names of rivers or regions or mountains or, you know, what have you. So we have a lot of categories. That's why we've tried to put it into a table to try and break down the issue in what are the things that are agreeable and what are those that aren't. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Avery, for this. Okay. Any comment or question? Okay. Okay, as if Zane in the queue. Yes, Zane. Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Avery. My question is that a lot of the times people wonder how this group relates to development issues, and they are kind of lost in why it's important regional-wise to get involved with this group. And can you elaborate on that? I know we don't have much time, but if you can just say a couple of sentences, that would be great.
Right. Well, development issues and sort of applicant support is part of, is the title that normally goes under within the work we're doing. As I think Bruna mentioned, you know, is part of that. And so certainly making sure that there's a good program for applicant support should you want GTLDs in your region is certainly one place. I think in terms of, you know, some of the other issues, they may indeed have development impact in terms of the fees, in terms of the processes, in terms of languages used, in terms of those kinds of aspects. But the applicant support one is the one issue that is actually focused on, you know, how do we do outreach? And outreach comes up as a side discussion, although that's much more of an implementation issue. How do we do outreach to make sure that you know, development areas aren't caught, even if there is an application support program, caught too late with, yeah, well, what are we supposed to do with this now? And you're still requiring us to come up with 40,000 on the spot. And if we don't get applicant support, we lose all chances at getting a GTLD in the round. So there's a lot of issues to be discussed there. I guess that's a quick answer.
Thanks, Avery. Since you are talking about applicant support, maybe to highlight that it was one of the topics that NCAG advocated a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken, 2009, 2010, and we had the working group for applicant support in that time. And I do believe that there was no real outreach at that time, and that was a missed opportunity. So we have to get this right now. And maybe to clarify, with regard to applicant support, it's not about the fees, but really about how we can have more registry from developing countries. And so we discussed about different options like shared pool of resources and so on. And I think we highlighted that how the program was designed. It represents a barrier for applicants from developing country. So it's not just really about kind of giving, let's say, maybe too simplistic, but it's not about giving money to applicants, but really to make the program more inclusive and to get more representation from developing country. Yes, Hafri, please go ahead.
Yeah, registries aren't one of the issues we're dealing with. So getting more registries in Africa is not on our list of topics. So the other larger ICANN factors of how to get development areas and, you know, developing regions involved, as they don't pertain specifically to registries and such, don't fall within our group. I understand they're important. That's you know, where people are going with auctions. But, you know, how many years later, we still don't have them. The applicant support group and others mentioned lack of registries. That's key. And so on and so forth. And yet, in the intervening years, you know, there have been a couple pushes at times for, gee, let's get some registries. And other than the ones that are not accredited but attached to the country code registries, you know, let's get more registrars, sorry. The other thing is registry support. If you're not going to roll your own back end, then you basically need to use one of the registry service providers. And I think that they're all, not all, but predominantly, you know, northern entities, developed country entities, and getting that formed, other than just having registrars, is getting registry service providers able to do something. And as you say, the shared pool. Again, that's not something for the program. You know, that's something for ICANN larger. And registry service providers are a class of stakeholder that really aren't represented in any sense, except when they happen to also be registries. Thanks.
Thanks, Avri, for clarification. Maybe I should have used the word having more applicants from developing countries. So while they will, sign the registry agreement, but doesn't mean that they will necessarily have the infrastructure like the back-end registry service and so on. Anyway, I think it's also maybe, as said, the discussion is beyond maybe the working group. And maybe for information that there was discussion about having more registrar and so on, and that would happen within ICANN, but it's, again, beyond the remit of this working group. But anyway, I think it's kind of topic for us to discuss and think how we can push more and the different front to get more and more, because at the end that they will serve the users and consumer from developing region. Okay, sorry I am taking so much to intervene here, but looking for more comment and question for Avri and Bruna, so if you have any.
Didn't we have a third topic?
Yes, we had a third topic, but unfortunately Stephanie had to leave early, so I guess we could fit two topics within 1 hour. So,
okay, I was afraid we were hogging all the time. Sorry.
No problem. Okay. So, any question or comment? Okay, I see that Andrea had put a question about the registry to the team for Africa DNA study. I think that's a good idea, yes. because it's one of the study that in going. There was also some other study, I think, for Middle East and another one for Latin America. So it's an opportunity to get to give input there, and we shared our input a few weeks ago. So if there is opportunity to participate, yes, we can do that. Okay. Okay, I understand that it's always challenging to have a call in the beginning of the week, but we have to do so since the meeting is just in a few days. Okay, so what we will do, we share the recordings and all the material and presentation we have, and also any other relevant material. I would like to thank Kathy, Avery and Bona for taking the time to prepare the slides and to present, and I'm really grateful that they did that. I asked them a few days ago, so I'd like that we thank them for the work done here, and also looking to see. To see you next week in Johannesburg, but those who cannot attend, you can participate remotely to all the session, and we'll try to keep you updated and informed. Okay, if there is no question or comment, I think we can adjourn the call for today, and thanks for attending and see you soon.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. Jane, you may stop the recording and disconnect all lines. Thank you very much for your time today. Goodbye.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.